Well, you may have heard about the woman who, after a very long illness, died and she went to heaven. She arrived at the pearly gates and she was looking through the gates and saw just how wonderful and beautiful heaven was. And so when St. Peter came, she said, "Oh, this place looks wonderful. How can I get in?" And St. Peter said, "Well, it's very simple. You just have to spell a word that relates to what our faith is all about." And she said, "What is the word?" And he said, "Love." So she spelled the word love and she was able to enter and enjoy the wonder of heaven. Well, about 6 months later, St. Peter needed to be away. So he asked her if she would go and stand at the gate for him. So she was standing at the gate when, to her surprise, her husband arrived at the pearly gates. Well, she said to him, I'm surprised to see you. How have you been?" And he said, "Well, actually, I've been doing pretty well since you died." He said, "You know that beautiful young nurse who was taking care of you? Well, I married her after you died. And then, believe it or not, I won the lottery. And when I won the lottery, I sold that little dinky house you and I were living in, and I bought a big mansion. And then my new wife and I, we traveled all over the world. Life has really been great. In fact, we were on vacation skiing when I fell and hit my head, and that's why I'm here today." "Well, how do I get in?" She said, "It's very simple. You just have to spell a word." He said, "What is the word?" And she said, "Czechoslovakia." So, thank goodness our word for today is not Czechoslovakia, but it is heaven. What an important word, heaven. From 2001 until 2007, I had the privilege to serve as a senior pastor of First Baptist Church in Lumberton, North Carolina. And the church was a wonderful church and blessed our family in so many ways. But one of the blessings of First Baptist Lumberton was Dr. Russell Cherry. Dr. Russell Cherry was the pastor emeritus of First Baptist Lumberton. And he had served that church and that community for 22 years as senior pastor, beloved by the community and the church. And while I was there, he and I shared many funerals together. Dr. Cherry passed away a few years ago, but I was thinking of him with the sermon today because every funeral Dr. Cherry preached, every funeral, he shared these words with intensity and energy. It's a poem that he shared. He said, "What must it be like to step on a shore and find it heaven? To take hold of a hand and find it God's hand? To breathe new air and find it celestial? To feel invigorated and find it immortality? To rise from the cares and difficulties of this world into an unbroken calm and find it glory? Of waking up and finding yourself at home? Heaven, our eternal home. Such an important word. In fact, it's so important that in this sermon series on important words, we're taking 2 weeks to talk about heaven. You know, we could talk for 2 months or 2 years and never exhaust all that we should know or need to think about with heaven. But this word is so important. We're talking about it this morning and next Sunday. It occurred to me that at this point in my ministry, I've preached almost 2,000 sermons, but I have never preached a sermon on heaven. I've talked about heaven in sermons. I've taught about it in Bible studies, referred to heaven and talked about it in funerals, but I've never preached an entire sermon on heaven, much less 2 weeks in a row. And I think there are many reasons for that, but one of the reasons is there is so many questions. There are so many questions about heaven. It is such a wonderful yet complicated concept that it's hard to boil down into just a few minutes in a sermon. Well, this morning and next Sunday, I want to talk about two very specific questions related to heaven. The first is this: what will we be like in heaven? This question includes the nature of our bodies, the bodily resurrection that is an important Christian doctrine and concept, and do we go to heaven right away, or is there some gap? Well, the second question is, what will heaven be like? What descriptions does the Bible give us about heaven and our eternal destination? What does the Bible tell us that heaven will be like when we get there? Well, that's next week. But this morning, what will we be like when we go to heaven? In our text for today, Paul has been thinking a lot about his life. Paul has been reflecting over the course of his life and what has happened to him. He's realizing that he is very near the end of his earthly journey, and he's been reflecting on the course of his life. But more importantly, he's not just thinking about his current circumstances. He's thinking about what heaven will be like. Life has been tough. He's been through a lot of hardships. He has endured shipwrecks. He has gone through beatings and imprisonments. But none of those things are his focus. In our text for today, Paul is thinking about, what will I be like in heaven? What will we be like when we get to heaven? This is one of Paul's writings about his approach to death and heaven. Now, Paul has no doubt whatsoever that he will go to heaven. He knows he will go to heaven. That's not a question. But what will he be like when he gets there? So in our text for this morning, here's basically what he says. This is my paraphrase of part of his writing. He said, if this earthly body is destroyed, so what? Paul says, when we go to heaven, we will have a new body. He says that he uses the analogy of a tent. He says our current bodies are temporary. They are like a tent. You know, if you live in a tent, if you go camping, or if you're, you know, inside a tent that way, it's temporary. It's not a place you're planning to live or stay for a while. But then Paul says, that's our current existence. But one day, our bodies will be permanent. No longer a temporary dwelling, but instead, he describes it as a building from God, not made with human hands, but a permanent new body. So given this truth, Paul says, we long for, we yearn to be in heaven. He says we desperately want, we dream about this permanent home, this permanent dwelling that we will inhabit, our true citizenship of heaven. He says we live in this world and we enjoy our lives, we serve God, we love our relationships and the things of this earth. We enjoy the temporary tent we're living in, but there is within us, Paul says, a deep yearning and desire to be in heaven with God for all eternity. Now, this yearning has different intensities for us at various times in our lives. A pastor was preaching about heaven, and in the sermon, he asked the congregation, he said, how many of you want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. And everybody raised their hand, except for one young boy who was sitting down at the front. Well, the pastor said, he surely didn't hear me, so let me ask again. How many of you want to go to heaven? Raise your hands. And everybody raised their hand except the one young boy down at the front. Well, the pastor was confused, and he really couldn't continue his sermon until he kind of settled this matter. And so he said, young man, don't you want to go to heaven? And he said, yes, one day, but I thought you were getting up a load to go right now, right? No. This yearning for heaven, it varies at different times in our life. And that's part of Paul's struggle. Paul says, I love my life and I love serving the Lord here, but I still have this yearning for heaven. This is temporary and I long for that which is permanent. He said it in a different way in his letter to the Christians in Philippi. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul said, for to me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. You see, both are good. To live is Christ, but to die, that's gain. So here in our text for today, he says, yes, we look forward to heaven. In fact, verse 5 of our text today, God has made us for this very purpose, That is why God created us. So we are at home in our present bodies, but we are away from the Lord. So we look forward to the day when we will be in God's presence with a new body for all eternity. Okay, so we understand that point. But what happens when we die? When we die, do we immediately go to heaven? Or is there some gap in time from when we die until the end of the world as we know it, the second coming of Christ? What does the Bible teach about this? There have been times in Christian history where the church has taught about purgatory, kind of an intermediate state between our current lives and what will be our permanent existence in heaven. Well, what are we to say? When we die, do we immediately go to heaven, or is there a gap in time? This question, in one form or another, has been asked by thousands, if not millions, of Christians throughout the Christian centuries. It's a great and important question, so let us consider it. First, we should say this morning that our passage for today here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 has sometimes been misinterpreted and misunderstood. Some believe that Paul wrote these words: to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In other words, if you're not currently living in this world, then you are immediately in God's presence. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, is how this verse is often interpreted. But that's not exactly what Paul says. Let's be clear. In verse 6, here's what Paul says: as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. In other words, while we are living here in this earth, in this world, in our temporary tent, we are not in heaven. He goes on in verse 8 to say, now we prefer to be away from the body and to be at home with the Lord. But in these sayings, Paul does not specifically say or teach that we immediately go into the presence of God. Now, I believe that to be true, but let us be clear. Paul does not specifically say that in this passage. We have to infer it from these words. But there are other places in the New Testament where we do find this teaching to be true. The strongest statement in the New Testament that teaches we immediately go to heaven was made by Jesus himself. When he turns to the thief on the cross beside him and he says, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, many people have interpreted that in different ways, but I believe Jesus is saying, today you will be with me in paradise. For me, this statement affirms that when we die, the soul of the believer goes immediately into the presence of God. Now, Jesus also told a parable in Luke chapter 16, about Lazarus and the rich man. It's the only parable where Jesus actually gives a name to someone in the parable. And I think that's important. And in this parable, Jesus teaches about Lazarus. And here's what he says in chapter 16, verse 22. The time came when the beggar, Lazarus, died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. When he died, he was taken to heaven by the angels. Now, Billy Graham recently died. I shared with you a few months ago, back in December, actually, about an interview that he had with Larry King while he was still alive. And if you remember part of what Billy Graham said, Larry King asked him, what's going to happen to you when you die? And here was Billy Graham's response. He says, when I die, an angel is going to take me by the hand and lead me into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he took that directly from this passage, this parable that Jesus teaches about Lazarus and the rich man and Lazarus being taken to Abraham's side in heaven. So there are strong teachings for this in the New Testament, but let us even say this. Beyond these strong teachings, we should understand that when we die, we will no longer be bound by chronological time as we know it. When our earthly body dies, we are no longer bound or constrained by time as we know it. We enter that realm, that understanding where, like for God, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. Well, but there are other teachings in the New Testament that confuse us. What about Paul's letter in 1 Thessalonians? Listen to these words. Paul says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. And here it is. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. This sounds like there's a gap. There's a waiting period. Paul says when Christ returns, the dead in Christ will be raised first. So what is this teaching about? One day, Christian theology says, Christ will return at the end of time as we know it, and the dead in Christ will rise first. This teaching is about the bodily resurrection. At the time of Christ's return, what happens is that is when we will actually receive our new body, this permanent body that God has planned for us. So when Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians about the dead in Christ rising, he is focused specifically on the resurrection of the body, our physical beings, at the second coming of Christ. You remember when Jesus himself was resurrected, he had a type of physical body. He says to Thomas, touch my hands, put your hand in my side. He ate a piece of fish with the disciples. He had a type of physical body. And so he shows us, and we are taught that at the second coming, at the end of time, our resurrection will be complete with a physical resurrection of the body. So then we say, okay, well, then what happens between that period of time? And that's where we come back to say that traditional Christian theology teaches our soul goes to heaven, as Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Our soul goes to be with God, carried there by the angels to the very presence of God, where we wait with all of the saints for the second coming and the final complete resurrection of our new and permanent body. In his 84th year of life, Malcolm Muggeridge writes, "So, like a prisoner awaiting his release, like a schoolboy when the end of term is near, like a migrant bird ready to fly south, like a patient in hospital anxiously scanning the doctor's face to see whether a discharge may be expected, I long to be gone, extricating myself from the flesh that I have too long inhabited, hearing the key turn in the lock of time so that the great doors of eternity swing open, disengaging my tired mind from its interminable conundrums and my tired ego from its wearisome insistences. Such is the prospect of death. I am 84 years old," he says, "an octogenarian who has done much that he ought not to have done and left undone much that he ought to have done. And so I live just for each day, knowing my life will soon be over and that I, like Michelangelo, will say at the end of his life, I have loved my friends and family. I have loved God and all his creation. I have loved life, and now I love death, for Christ lives." That's what Paul was saying. Paul just had his own words, and in his words, Paul says, therefore, we are always confident, and we know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight, and we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. This morning, we rest securely in our faith. Our faith that teaches us that as a Christian, when you die, your soul as a believer will be ushered into the presence of God, where with all of God's children, we await the final resurrection of our bodies when Christ returns. So until next week, reflect upon these words. What must it be like to step out on a shore and find it heaven? What must it be like to take hold of a hand and find it God's hand? What must it be like to breathe new air and find it celestial? What must it be like to feel invigorated and to find it immortality? What must it be like to be released from the cares and difficulties of this world into an unbroken calm and find it glory? What must it be like to wake up and find yourself truly at home? Let us pray. Good and gracious God, in this world, we live with so many questions and uncertainties. But God, your word is filled with promises. Promises that give us assurances. Promises that give us energy and courage for the living of these days. Lord, help us to live as Christ and to know that death is only gain. So lead us and guide us in these ways, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.